Good morning to you. Good morning, good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Carroll, CBS News, on WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Adbiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Campbell.
Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPN.
Now, here is Hank Kaiser.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard,
and Jim Reed,
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harry Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the nocturne, we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingham Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dell here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show. And this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raw.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
All of those, I didn't work with all of those people, but I worked with a lot of them that you hear on there or knew a lot of them, like William Friday, I considered a friend. And he did, back in the 40s when he was a student at NC State, did work. Did work with I guess, Jim Reed and the team that were doing sports, the sportscasts of NC State basketball and so forth. Because he was there. He went to three different universities. He went to Wake Forest. He went to and played baseball and went to NC State and got a degree in textile engineering and went to law school at Carolina. So he made the rounds. He was an incredible man and one of the nicest people I've ever met. And And Rufus, I know you second that.
I certainly do. I don't know what I've got the influence to go to law school, but
they called it the golden class at UNC Law School. Terry Sanford was in that law class, and a bunch of Supreme Court justices and prominent attorneys. But he and former governor Senator Sanford lived beside each other in an apartment complex when they were in law school at Carolina. So
yeah, another chief justice was a man named Jim Exum, who was in that class, And yes, he was the golden class.
And plus, what makes him extra great is he was from down east. He was from Edgecombe County. He grew up near Speed, where we have a prominent general from North Carolina. So, yeah, we and former chief, he was a blanking, not chief. It was chief of staff. Well, chief of the armed forces, basically.
And, he ended up being a professor at NC State.
Right. Of course, he went to NC State. He went to, where he went to school, did the ROTC thing, and, you know, it's just incredible. Good people come from down east and all over North Carolina. But, a lot of people in that group on that montage I was fortunate to work with, and many of them aren't with us anymore, except we remember the stories and remember the voices and so forth. So I'm glad we can share that with you every week. Billy, I was getting ready before I interrupted myself and ran out of time in the hour to get to CBS. Super sod. I'm sure that people are still trying to plant or put out sod, and that's about the only way you can do it, the warm season grasses. And, boy, you have to water. Especially, I mean, a friend down the street put out some sod in March, some zoysia sod, and it's looked okay. But he started watering finally.
Oh, yeah.
I was getting worried because it was looking, his yard was looking a little dry, and that's, you know, warm season grass, which usually fares much better in this type of weather. But everything needs water. But that's the only way you can do it. Is do sodding right now. I wouldn't recommend trying to seed anything. Of course, I don't know. We didn't mention the seafood restaurant really, but we sort of did because of Henry loves it. But you have so much going on out there. And do you have any special events coming up?
I do have a couple of events coming up. Next Saturday, 10 a.m. until, we'll have crawfish day.
Oh, I'll tell you, the masses come in for that early.
That's what I understand. Since I've been here, we haven't had crawfish day, so I haven't been able to experience that yet. But sounds like I may get to this.
Well, don't let any get out and crawl on you.
I know. those guys up there, local seafood, they have the crawfish in there the other week, you know, a little container and cardboard box and stuff. And the guy told me he had one he kept for a pet for a couple of years.
I'll be doggone. Didn't pinch him, did it? You know, some people like the taste and some people don't. You like crawfish, Rufus?
I like some a little bit bigger, like a lobster.
Now, do you like them with a little bit of mud or without?
Well, we caught crawfish in the creeks up home, and we would use them as fish bait.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. Gerald, have you ever had a crawfish?
I can't say I'm a big fan.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, some people really enjoy them. You know, the lobster is a little too sweet for me. I don't know. It's kind of like a scallop. I'm like Henry.
I'm a shrimp man.
Yeah. I like shrimp and flounder and, you know, some of the other fishes. Yeah, I like oysters okay. I like fried oysters.
They do a great flounder at the Farmer's Market restaurant. I had that last week.
Yeah.
It was so big that the head went over the one end of the plate, the tail on the other.
It wasn't staring you in the face, was it?
Just about.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Billy, appreciate that. Next Saturday, crawfish day. What else you got?
We got on July 11th, we're going to have a summer sale, just like we had our spring fling.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have summer sale.
Fantastic.
And I don't have a whole lot of details on what all to expect, but the flyer is really, really pretty. We have a few of those posted up around the market, and I think Monica had put it on our Facebook page.
Are you going to sing during Summerfest?
If I do, it's because I drank too much of that wine.
Well, stay away from the wine, Billy.
Yeah, I think I will.
All right. Well, I always appreciate talking to you. You have a nice day.
Y'all come see you.
All right. Bye. Had to interrupt Billy because with news there. So Summerfest, that ought to be fun. All right, 919-860-9783. Gerald, we've talked a lot of tomatoes, about tomatoes this morning, and Rufus, but I don't know. Have you been doing much watering in your yard besides the tomatoes, Rufus, or any at all?
Yeah, in the pots. You have to. It's
containers,
it's
yeah.
About like tomatoes. You've got to water them almost every day, but not quite as much as tomatoes. And it's just very simple. If they're in a pot, they're going to dry out a lot quicker. And I've tried to plant things that I don't have to drag a hose around all over the yard. And camellias seem to stand up very well. Hydrangeas will tell you when they need a little bit of water. But I'm sort of dreading when I pull back in about an hour from now, and what's going to be drooped down or maybe even suffered tremendously. I don't think the tomatoes will. Gerald, I've let them go 2 days, and because Linda couldn't do it. She's been a little bit under the weather with her sprained ankle. And I don't think that they're going to have, some of them have a hard time of it in those smaller pots. But
that'll be your first job.
Yeah, and I have this idea, too. If people always, we know it's best to water early in the morning and late in the afternoon. What if something's got to have water?
It's got to have water.
Water.
Yeah.
No matter what time of day it is.
Yes.
How about
so
that?
That's what's going to happen the minute I pull into the place.
Well, how far are you from Raleigh?
I'm about an hour away.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, I'm the remainder of the show.
Well, fantastic. I didn't know you were going to have time to do all of this, but I sure do appreciate it, and I hope you aren't getting cauliflower ear or anything.
And haven't run off of the road at all.
Are you driving?
Oh, yes, sir.
So, I'll be doggone. I didn't know that. I thought you had a chauffeur.
No, we didn't have any chauffeur this time.
Oh, okay.
That would normally be my dear Linda who couldn't come this time.
Okay, well, all right. Well, we'll what's the temperature now?
I am looking, and it's 89 degrees.
Oh, that's very disheartening, I know.
Coming from 62 this morning at 15 of 8.
Mm. Yeah, well. Got to live with it. Summertime, officially summertime yesterday. That was our Thursday, first full day yesterday. So we've gotten over the hump as far as I'm concerned. I'm a fall winter guy, and after you get past the first day of summer, it means that fall and winter are getting closer. And I'm starting to hear some other cicadas here and there. You know, during the as you start getting into summer, you start hearing cicadas. But they seem a little early this year. I don't think they're the ones that went crazy, the crazy cicadas that I didn't really hear around Raleigh. I heard them in Pittsburgh. But and a lot of people kind of here and there heard them. But and they did. And they did some damage. I heard Johnny Coley talking about messing up some oak trees, just the leaves and stems and stuff, I guess, where they were laying their eggs. But I don't know all of that. So, yeah, everybody's watering. I'm watering. The only thing I'm watering are some new plants, relatively new plants.
Yeah, one thing people will need to realize is azaleas, and I don't care if they were 5, 10, 15-year-old azaleas, don't really have a tap root. And they will really go to suffering pretty quick-like when we get this kind of dry and this kind of heat.
Yeah.
So that would be something if you have them in your garden to take a look at. Normally wouldn't water them. Normally wouldn't water them, but we may be upon the verge of that now because watching the little news flash a while ago, a slim chance of rain Tuesday and a better chance of rain maybe the end of the week. That looks mighty hot, mighty dry.
Mm.
It looks mighty slim, too.
Whew, boy. Well, what else do we need to be doing? What can we be doing this time of year? What about I mentioned the lawn and watering the relatively newly planted lawn, but the fescue, I just feel sorry for fescue. Fescue is looking pretty rough right now, and unless you have an irrigation system, it's hard to keep it up.
Very, very difficult, because it really needs 1 inch of water per week minimum from, you know, 1st of June to Labor Day.
Well, I got in because I have so many plants and just too much root competition and so forth, and I don't have enough sunlight to grow the warm season grasses. I'm in the weed business now, and that's okay. I need Melissa says I need to put out some clover, Rufus, in the spring. Need to start doing that. So I'll have a roof.
I think, like you say, if it's green, mow it down.
Yeah, I don't worry anymore about that. And I'm kind of adding some ground cover. I'm trying to add some that likes the what would you recommend that likes the heat and the sun? The ground cover, because there are a lot more that seem to like the shade.
Yes,
like Pachysandra and Vinca, and although Vinca, you know, will. And you know, if you give them a ivy a chance, it'll grow most anywhere.
Oh, without question. I mean, a lot of people use the creeping phlox, particularly if you've got any kind of slope at all, because the roots are so thick that it, you know, will keep it from washing. And that can take the heat really well.
What is that again?
The creeping phlox.
Creeping phlox.
You know,
oh, boy, I'll tell you.
That's an old time.
Rufus, I've seen some of the prettiest tall phlox. Not to get us off subject, but.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, just outstanding. Somebody has some planted. That's an outstanding plant. Do you grow? Do you have any tall phlox?
I do not, but that was has really gained in popularity in the last 2 years, and there are a lot more varieties out there now, and there are some that will perennialize out of that as well. So there've been a lot more offerings in that.
Yeah,
late.
And you can get at least two and maybe three once the first bloom, cut them back. And maybe get three blooms a year out of them.
Yeah, how about that? So you cut them back right after they start fading, or
after fading? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they start fading. Cut on down below for you some green.
So
time's another pretty good.
You'll have phlox in October.
Oh man.
Now they will perennialize a lot. I've had a particular. I call it the sort of the ditch variety. It just comes up by the groves.
Yeah.
Fertilizing.
So thyme and the herb.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an herb that's
It's a low-growing ground cover, kind of sprawls and meanders, and, I mean, you can walk on it. It's extremely durable.
So creeping phlox and thyme. Anything else you can think of?
Let's see.
That's durable.
Creeping Jenny. Yeah. Creeping Jenny is beautiful to me, but it's not as durable as some others. But it's just such a pretty green.
Yeah, it's hard to walk on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it will. I mean, it'll turn bronze in the wintertime, but then just as soon as the weather breaks, it'll be, if it gets a lot of sun, it'll be more of that lime green color, and if it's getting a little shade, it'll be a little greener. Looking, but it's very durable. It's hard to kill. I mean, if you've got some soft soil, it spreads really quickly too.
What is going to outcompete the weeds?
Well, if you've
low growing weeds,
stuff that has a thick kind of mass root, the phlox does a pretty good job of that, and the creeping Jenny, once established, will do. The biggest problem you have is probably tree saplings. If you've done it in a big bed that has large trees. Because I declare a maple seed will come up anywhere.
So, that's true.
So, I mean, there are a lot of tree seedlings. But then again, they're usually, you know, pretty easy to pull up. You generally speaking, don't see the grasses, crabgrass and stuff like that, you know, growing them because it's just not – it's not room for them to get established.
Yeah.
But
– Mondo will compete pretty well with weeds.
Yeah, Mondo's great. It does. The only thing I don't like about Mondo, the miniature or dwarf Mondo, is that it just doesn't spread.
It's a very slow spreader.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you buy a thousand plants to put out over your yard, of course, that's better for a shadier area, mm-hmm. but you know, kind of a filtered light area, but it. It really looks good.
It does, and you can hit it with just knock the edges out of it with a lawnmower. And it. We've had a number of people back when I was working with Phil that slowly changed their shady yards to that.
Yeah.
We had a guy that would get like, you know, get me 10 plug trays of it, and he would take and do a section. But that's the unfortunate thing. It's a very slow spreader, so you have to put the plugs pretty close to grow to fill in the lawn. But it's extremely durable, and it you know obviously doesn't have the water needs that fescue does. So you have solved that part of the problem.
Now back to the lawn. I'm jumping all over the place. Back to the fescue lawn. I mean, the warm season grass needs watering. What's the answer? I mean, how do we just let it go dormant, and we're going to lose some, or?
Well, with the dormants.
Or the fescue.
With the fescue. I mean, if you don't have irrigation, then there's a 99.9% chance that you're going to be reseeding every year. There's
right.
just not any getting around that. If you have irrigation and you're putting the water to it that it needs, then you're going to have to preventatively spray for brown patch because that moisture that it needs to keep it alive, along with our heat and humidity, is the perfect you know, environment for the brown patch to form in.
Right.
So that's one or the other you're going to have to do for sure. And that's why it's just so challenging to grow fescue here if you don't have irrigation. And I really, you know, they've got some zoysias now that can take some shade, but I don't think that they've really quite got there for
you
the
still
ones.
Need 6 hours
yeah,
of sunlight.
That's right. And so they've been working forever trying to get some Bermuda that could take some shade, but they're making progress, but they're still not there
yeah,
yet.
Just doesn't seem to do
so
it.
So you either, if you're dead set on having that lawn, then you need to see about making that investment in irrigation.
Right.
Because then you can have a good-looking lawn 12 months out of the year.
All right, more of the Weekend Gardener straight ahead here on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here along with Rufus Edmonston on the road and Gerald Adams in the studio with us here on WPTF. Oh, James Brown. Whew. You like that, Rufus?
I heard it.
Don't run off the road. You've met everybody. Did you ever meet James Brown?
No, I did not. I would love to have met that character.
I am really surprised that you never met James Brown.
Yeah, I met George Jones. I met a lot of the country stars and as you know, sang with Loretta Lynn and Conway Twitty, but I never got to meet James Brown.
Now, all those people played at Dorton Arena. Yeah. James, Loretta. That would have been James, Loretta, and Conway. You know, that really might be interesting. You know, the musicians and singers are, you know, they have very similar brains. They respect each other and their yeah. craft, and so I think that would have been really interesting. Loretta was really a cool character in her own right, and I think she probably would have enjoyed it. Of course, Conway did
did rock music in the 50s. So
yes, yeah, Loretta was a very kind person. She never turned a fan down. They wanted an autograph, and she would go out of her way. I got involved with them one time when she had some drivers that had lead seats.
Oh, okay.
In their driving habits, and I was able to help a little bit. She befriended me.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, okay. Didn't know. It's rare that I mentioned a celebrity and you didn't meet them, come in contact with them somewhere, but not James Brown. But that's all right. He's now official member of the Weekend Gardener crew. I love that. We'll have to put that little bit on so we can use it occasionally. Yeah, we'll have to do that. Everybody feeling all right this morning? Yeah, it's good. I like that. 919-860-9783. Steve is next, I believe. Steve, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Well, I was told I was next, so I guess I am. Hey.
Well, that's that just depends.
Grandkids.
It just depends. Oh, well, you have a lot of grandkids there?
Yeah, my daughter's here from Texas. And she brought her daughters with her, and they're here helping me do some yard work, do some catch-up.
Are they happy about that?
they seem to be. They're not frowning.
Well, that's good. Well, y'all get out there and then get back in before it gets too hot.
Well, we're trying to. That's why we're trying to do it now.
So are you deadheading?
We've already done that. We had 280 plants blooming today.
So are we at the peak?
No, we hit peak last week. It was 379.
Whew. Wow.
That's the biggest amount we've had blooming, and that's basically because the deer haven't been bad this year.
Yeah. Rufus, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to tell Steve, I thought of him in Boone the past couple of days because Boone is aglow with daylilies.
Okay.
And, of course, they're just now coming in real good.
Asheville's got daylilies in their when we had our annual – when we had our national convention there, we shared daylilies with them, and they put them in the medians. And they're still – as far as I know, they're still there. So Asheville's got a lot of daylilies that they've gotten from us.
Yeah. Everybody's yard – and just the fields and the creeks and the banks along the roadside are just full of daylilies. I call them the swamp daylilies, but they're still just so pretty.
Yeah, no matter what. We've had visitors this week, and every time they come here, they say, "We can't believe we hadn't been here before."
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, you guys need to come before it gets totally devastated.
Well, we don't want any
devastation over there, Steve.
No, I mean, if it gets down to less than 100, I mean, that would be a disappointment if you came like that.
Yeah.
But, well, Mike, maybe we better plan on that sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you're welcome to come anytime. We've got plenty to do here.
Yeah.
And you can help. I mean, no, I'm just kidding.
And it's you have to go online to find out about Steve's garden.
My garden is called Just One More. It's in the tab on the Raleigh Daylily Club website called Display Gardens. And if you hit that tab and look for Just One More, my phone number and address are listed there, and you're welcome to come. Our next meeting is the second Sunday in August, and it'll be at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in one of their meeting rooms. And we'll have a speaker, and we'll have giveaways. And we used to have food, but they don't let us have food there now. So anyway, I'm disappointed in that.
Well, I don't know. Use restraint.
When I first started going, I used to go just for the food, you know.
Oh, okay. I understand. But then now you like the plants.
Turn down free food.
Yeah, just use restraint. That's what my mama always told me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just stick a couple nabs in your pocket.
Well, I do that, too.
Yeah. But don't leave any crumbs.
I love you guys, and I'll listen to you the rest of the way.
All right. Well, y'all take care of those grandkids. Get them inside.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Number if you need, if you got any questions that you guys want to have answered.
All right, buddy. Thank you much, Steve.
Bye.
919-860-9783. You know, whether you like squirrels or not, we don't want them in the bird feeders. And luckily, Wild Birds Unlimited has a solution for that. It's the Eliminator Squirrel-Proof Bird Feeder. And when a squirrel jumps on the feeder, it prevents them from getting the seed. So here's a chance to win one from the folks at Wild Birds Unlimited, along with some sunflower chips to go along with that. And don't eat the chips. You got to give them to the birds. The WPTF.com and the contest page is where you need to go to register to win this squirrel-proof feeder, bird feeder. That's contest page at WPTF.com, and register to win it from our friends at Wild Birds Unlimited in Cary and Raleigh and WPTF. You know, all the pollen is at least the type that we could see from the pines are gone, so we don't have to worry about that. Hopefully you have taken your car in to get the air filters inside the car that sends air into the car and to the engine. All those filters need to be changed every year or whenever the manufacturer is recommended, or if you go to King's Auto Service, they'll certainly tell you. But go to King's Auto Service, get a summer checkup if you didn't get a spring checkup, and do a little spring cleaning on your car from the inside out. The engine, they can hear if you have a problem. They can check all of that and make sure it's running properly. If you're heading out of town, you don't want to break down. You want to make sure your tires are okay, that your battery is in good shape. You don't want to be on 95 and stop for something and you can't get your car restarted. It's just too hot for that, and that's terrible anyway. Get all of that checked, and get the air conditioning checked. Every year, you should run the air conditioning system. Try to incorporate it. You know, a lot of it is auto. A lot of the cars have automatic systems now, but try to use the air conditioning at some point year round. Do it every week, because that keeps the refrigerant moving through, and that refrigerant also has oil in it that acts as a lubricant and keeps the system running good, running well. So you need to do that. And they also, if you have a Toyota Prius or some other type of hybrid vehicle, they have certified hybrid technicians at King's Auto Service. They're on West Street in downtown Raleigh. Call them on Monday, set up a free battery check, and they can let you know, because you, again, whether it's a hybrid or anything else, you don't want that 12-volt battery to be going bad. And there's so many other things that they can check, and they've been doing it since 1946. King's Auto Service. 1045 WPTF time, 919-860-9783. More coming up here on WPTF. We're back on WPTF at 10:47, and so nice having Craig LaHulier on this morning. And you can go to his Instagram account. It's tomato. I didn't write it down. NC Tomato Man. Yeah, should know that anyway. NC Tomato Man, and he's a remarkable person. He has a doctorate in chemistry, and you know, lots of smart people. You know, Rufus and Gerald And, of course, Craig, very, very intelligent people, and we're so glad to have them to talk gardening, something that is so popular. I mean, you're talking about people loving the tomatoes, and there's so many varieties of everything now, but people are really getting into feeding themselves. And, you know, since the recession in 08, we've found that people are doing that more. They're doing some canning and all
well,
that.
You need to. I went to the grocery store the other day, and I had all the bags in one hand, and I think it was $70-some dollars worth. So, and they were little bags out of that. So, but I think a lot of people, too, you can have success and you can save some money on food, but I think the whole process is enjoyable and helps relieve stress and things like that. And I really need to thank all of the Weekend Gardener listeners that came and shopped with me this year. I had a very successful year and going to keep expanding and offer some more things next year as well. But there's just a lot to be said for getting out in the garden where you're growing vegetables or messing with flowers or other plants and not having all the day-to-day grind weighing you down.
Yeah, that's true. Rufus,
you've been asked 100 times, what was your best seller this year in the tomato line?
So I grew 160 varieties of tomatoes this year. Cherokee Purple, number one seller. The 5 years I've been doing it, number one seller every year. And Sun Gold, number two seller. It's been the number two seller every year.
Yep. No doubt. Of course, now you sell things other than tomatoes.
I had 75 varieties of peppers this year, 50 varieties of eggplant. I doubt there's anywhere in 1,000 miles of here that had 50 varieties of eggplant. And then I had about 10 varieties of cucumbers, 8 or 9 varieties of squash, zucchini, okra. I had bitter gourd and another on the bottle gourd and other thing, cantaloupe, watermelon. So,
how do you keep up with all of it?
It's kind of difficult. Most of it in my head, and things are scrambled in there enough as it is anyway.
I can't keep up with anything. And I think by listening to this show, you can tell that I have trouble keeping up with things.
Had a number of people bring me pepper plants, varieties that I was unfamiliar with that I'm now growing out this year.
Sweet or hot peppers?
Most of them were hot peppers, some kind of cross ghost pepper and something.
That's a
cross
cult.
And all that. So I'll have some more of those different kind of peppers next year. But I had several people. I had some other people bring me some seed that I'll be growing out this year to save. And the biggest news of all probably is squash lovers. So I got them too late to sell this year, but Burpee has come out with a squash plant, straight neck yellow squash, that goes straight up, 4 foot tall. And so what's going to be great about it, and I'll tell you for sure before the summer's over with, I just started picking fruit off of it, but I got the seeds too late to be able to sell the plants this year. I gave them to 3 or 4 customers to try for me. But you can protect that center base very easily, and if it grows straight up and you stake it, you've eliminated squash vine borers as a problem. And that is by far the biggest issue people have that grow squash. So I'm interested to see how many will produce if indeed that's the case, and if so, I'll have it to offer next year. But I've picked 4 squash off of it the last 2 days, and it's growing straight up. It's about 1.5 feet tall now and supposed to get 4 feet tall. So we'll see.
Got a couple of more callers before we get off here. Lewis, my buddy Lewis in Rocky Mount. Hey, Lewis, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, you're right. You know, Conway and James Brown have one thing in common: great hair.
That would have been a really interesting concert, because I've seen concerts with James Brown, and he would have people from other genres, and keeping up with James Brown, because he would really ad lib.
Yeah, he was something else. I mean, I think the only artist to even approach James Brown with the moves was Prince and Michael Jackson to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But both of them absolutely admire James Brown. Here's a little trivia for you concerning James Brown and his Blue Flames. Back in the day when they were touring, you know, they'd have to go by the Green Book during segregation to find places to reside and eat and stuff. So when they get around 301 Rocky Mount area, not only James Brown, but Mahalia Jackson and B.B. King would pull off and go to a barbecue restaurant called Lincoln Park Barbecue. It was run by the Pittmans, black-owned on restaurant there, and get some of that barbecue.
I grew up in Nashville, not far from Rocky Mountain. I'd never heard of that. And, you know, there were a lot of barbecue places. There was Buck Overton's and Bob Melton's and several others around there, but I'd never heard of that.
Yeah, there's a historic marker over there. When I was there when they, unfurled it that day. And Lincoln Park was an actual black suburb, nice area. And right at the front of it was this motel and barbecue restaurant. And the name was so got out there to the black artists. And as I say, James Brown, Mahalia Jackson, B.B. King all showed up on different occasions. And
so where on 301 would this have been, if you can describe?
This neighborhood, you'd have to pull off at 301 and come on into town, and it's across the tracks right in Edgecombe County.
Oh, so it's Edgecombe, yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, right up back into Edgecombe County way in the city of Rocky Mount. And it's, like I say, there was a historic marker unveiled, and the Pittmans were there. And,
wow. How about that? They were
quite elderly at that time, but they're really legendary locals, I'll tell you that. And the guy you were trying to remember was General Hugh Shelton of Speed, North Carolina.
Yeah, Hugh Shelton. Gosh, yeah. We were all, forgive me, General.
Yeah, he grew up in Speed, North Carolina, went to state, and then was the Joint Chiefs, head in late 90s. And I'll tell you real quick, Dwight Yoakam really tore it up in Raleigh last Friday night. Great show. He did two of Elvis's songs, The Little Sister and the encore with Suspicious Minds. And he gave everybody their money's worth, and I danced with some Carolina honeys in their tight-fitting jeans.
How about that? Well, I mean, James Brown and Dwight Yoakam might have been a good pairing, too.
Yeah, they both got the moves, I'll tell you that.
Well, I always enjoy talking to you, my friend.
You too. Real good. And everybody in Nashville says, hey.
All right, buddy. Hey to everybody in Nashville. Thank you, Lewis.
Rock on.
All right, bud. Carl is in Apex.
Hi. Talking about tomato plants, there's always a question about the suckers. In pruning, I have Cherokee Purple in a raised bed for plants that are just look like $1 million. My big baseball-sized tomatoes coming. My container stuff that I have Black Crim, Brandywine, and they're doing okay. I'm finding when it gets real hot that doing some pruning back to stuff okay if the plant looks like it wants to shut down this arm. So I just cut that off unless there's really something good on it. And then it seems like the plant can really take care of itself after that by not having such plants trying to grow. How does that sound to you?
Well, I work from the other side. I generally speaking, I rarely prune, and I don't pull many suckers. I pour the water to it, and I use really big containers. For instance, my tomato plants, I'm growing in a 25-gallon container. So that way I can get a bigger plant because I'm a hog. I want more fruit, and a bigger plant will have more blooms and more fruit, but it is more difficult to take care of in a container. So if you're in a smaller container, sometimes pruning or pulling some of the suckers will reduce the size of the plant and make it easier to grow, but it will also restrict the number of fruit too. But so it's kind of having to balance that.
Yeah, I'm on the same thoughts on my Cherokee Purple. It's all going wild in there, and it's just, but I got big tomatoes that haven't started to redden up yet. But it just seems like, I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, it, when you got this kind of heat, it just takes a lot of water because the plant's going to naturally try to flop to defend itself from this heat. So that's we've not had any rain now, and you get above 90 degrees, it just that's a lot of stress on the plants.
Yeah, I have enough stuff going in container plants because I keep the plants that I have created. I just keep finding some place to put it in there. So I know I have plenty, so just keep this weather is like to be this way all summer. So,
well, hopefully not, but best to be prepared.
We got a pretty good chance of getting some rain because of all the hurricanes. We don't know how that's going to affect us, and that's the way we usually get out of these droughts. Unfortunately,
somebody write that down and remind him that it's supposed to rain next week.
Yeah, you can call back next Saturday and complain if it doesn't.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I had the same.
We got about 20 seconds, Rufus.
My Cherokee Purple was growing so tall, and I said, Gerald, can I cut it off? He said, if you want to lose your fruit. And so I cut one off and one I didn't. Experiment.
Well, good.
Well, Brother Rufus, you have a safe trip home, and we'll see you next week.
All right, thank you, and have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Yes, sir. The great Rufus Edmiston. Carl, thank you very much for calling us from Apex.
Yeah, bottom line, to leave the suckers on there unless they get to be too much for the plant.
Yes. All right. Yes.
Thanks very much, Gerald.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. We'll get you on real soon. And Jason, thank you. Thanks to everybody. We love you. We'll see you next week on The Weekend Gardener.